by to receive your calls and answer the questions from God's Word. The voice line is available. There's no callers right now, so now you can get in. 308-9564. That's the voice line if you want to join us today on today's broadcast. You can also communicate your questions to us, as already announced, through your cell phone. If you would like to communicate a text question, you can do that through texting to 725-9283. 725-9283 is another way that you can communicate with us today. We want you to be aware of, we have a website that you can go to at any time, and you can also communicate through that means. You may have a friend or relative, though, that lives outside this broadcast area. And if they do, you should call them right now. If you think that they would benefit from this program, go ahead and call them and let them know that they can tune in via their computer at www.BibleAlone.com. Or if they have a smartphone, they can tune in through TuneIn Radio and thus be able to find the radio station through that app. And so we would be glad for them to join us as well. And on our website is front page down at the bottom. You can also send text messages through your computer. And that way you do not have to literally pick up your phone and call with your voice. Any way you want to communicate with us will be fine with us, but go ahead and let your questions be known to us right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. And we do not make any apologies for just giving you what the Bible says. The reason is because when everything is said and done, and we've reached the end of this life, whether it be soon or later, then we will have to give an answer to our Creator Himself for what we did or what we did not do. And so doesn't it make sense that we just go ahead right now and find out, what does God expect of me in this life? How is it that I'm supposed to behave in order to please Him? And what is it that I can do, that I should do, to avoid the fires of eternal torment away from God? The wage of sin is death, and so that's what we've earned, because all sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. So if that's the case, then where do I stand right now with God? Would you be surprised to know that most of the denominational world as we know it's doctrines, their teachings, they do not give a complete picture of how to get into Christ. Now, the verse, Romans 6:23, the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so we've got to figure out how to get into Christ if we're going to avoid the eternal separation from God. So now is your chance to call your question in, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. Now's your chance, because many times the lines fill up at the end of the broadcast, and so you might not be able to get your question answered on today's broadcast. So go ahead and call right now. 308-9564.
Yes, we are happy to be with you today and very thankful for the opportunity. We feel blessed and humbled by the opportunities that lie before us to answer your questions from the Bible. Ricky and I here, we've got all kinds of Bibles open here, anxious and willing and ready and able, with God's help, to give you the answers that you have on your mind. Things have happened through your week, I'm sure, this past week to you, like they have to us, that have caused us to reflect upon God's Word and maybe passages that would apply, that help benefit you, and that would be helpful to you in your growth and seeking after God. Now, we have a live caller, and the name is
John, B. John, or something like that. B. John, yes, B. John. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, sir, you are.
All right. How can we help you? What's your question?
I've had some loved ones, and I was actually trying to speak with you before going on the air, but I'll go ahead and say it now. I know I have my personal beliefs and my feelings about Freemasonry because I was looking into the Bible, but I was just looking for something in the Word.
Okay, and what's your question? Are you wondering if Masons are in the Bible?
Freemasonry and things of that sort.
Okay, well, whether it is Freemasons or any other religious group, because there are some aspects of Freemasonry that are religious, and no matter whether it is that or any other, Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 says, Paul, writing by inspiration, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach or teach any other gospel to you, then what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And so if any group, by any name, or any individual, teaches anything beyond what we can read in God's Word, then they will stand accursed before God. That was so important. You might want to look at that passage and even read the next verse, because he turns right around and he repeats it again. And, you know, I don't know if you remember when you were young, maybe your parents said to you, as mine said to me, son, I'm not going to tell you a second time. And then she tells me a second time, but she's letting me know. She means business. Well, God means business. If we come up with anything beside what we can read in God's Word, that is calling down God's curses upon us. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It makes sense to me. I was just trying to relate it to someone else, and thank you for that.
Well,
may I have that verse again, please?
Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. And while you're writing down, go ahead and write 2 John, which is right back close to Revelation in the back, 2 John, verses 9 through 11.
9 through 11. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, another passage you might write down is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All that the man of God needs to be equipped is in the Scriptures.
We sure
appreciate your call.
All right, thank you. Y'all be blessed.
All right, you too. God bless. Again, the number is 308-9564. Our first caller was a live caller, so you can call as well and have your question either written down and brought into us, or you can go live just like Bijan did, and we will be more than happy to go directly to what God says in His Word, and thus we're hearing what God says, not what man says. And so that was a very good program, a very good question to begin the program with today, because there's so many out there that are teaching things that are just not in God's Word. So let's go to the Bible all the time. You want to recite that passage you mentioned in 2 Timothy?
Yes, 2 Timothy 3:16, in verse 17, where Paul's writing to Timothy and encouraging him the ways of salvation. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the whole sole purpose of those benefits defined in the Word of God is that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that pretty much sums up all that we need to be suitable to worshiping and serving God.
Again, the number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI. Or you can text us your question at 725-9283. That will be sent directly here to the studio, and we'll be glad to answer it on today's broadcast. 725-9283 is the text line, and you can use your cell phone or you can go to our website to send us that text message, that text question. On the bottom of our website, there's a little block there, and you just type in your question there, and it will be sent directly to us. Again, the number is 725-9283 for the text question, or if you just rather use your voice, you can call the voice line at 308-9564. It's just about time for us to take our first break already. We want you to know that on today's broadcast, we're offering a free DVD and a Bible reading schedule to where that you can take that and read through the Bible in 2014 at your pace to be able to go through that. You can choose Old Testament alone or New Testament alone, or you can do both and go all the way through the Bible in 1 year. And so it's a 7-day-a-week way to be able to read through the Bible. If you would rather, there is a 5-day week schedule already on our website. So if you have a computer, you can go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and you go into the Bible Materials button, and you will see there a Bible reading schedule that is set up for a 5-day-a-week schedule. And so we just want you to get into God's Word. Isn't that obvious? Because that's what will set us free. Jesus brings that out very clearly.
And this might be a great time of year to kind of start some things that maybe you've put off in the first part of the year. Now, some of you are going to be off, going to have some time on your hands. I know there's a lot of stuff going on with family and the holidays and stuff, but this might be a good time for you to enlist in the Bible Correspondence Course and get the ball rolling for this new year, that it can truly be a new year for you, that you might be a new creature in Christ. So we encourage you to take the opportunity to write down that address. Maybe you won't get to it today. Write down the number. Maybe you won't call today, but we hope that you will. And call soon, and please get involved in this. This will be a great blessing for you.
Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call here at the station. We're waiting on your question right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
Glad to have you with us again. This is a time of year when folks get pretty busy and time gets away from them. I trust that you have redeemed your time today and tuned into the radio program, and you're sitting there thinking, I would really like to know about thus and so. And this is a great opportunity for just pick up your phone and dial here at the station, 308-9564, or you can text a question in at 725-9283. And, of course, you just heard about the Bible Correspondence Course. We encourage you to take the time right now to call in 553-5157. There'll be a recorded place that you can give your name and address, and we'll send you that course out tomorrow.
Yes, it'll be in tomorrow's mail, and we're glad to be able to send it to you. And by the way, it is free. It is not, this is not a bait and switch kind of thing. We never ask for a handout. It is, everything we send to you is never, ever expected to give a contribution. So let me just put it this way. Please do not send us your tithes and your offerings. Do not send us a contribution. But rather, let us send you treasure that will last forever. You know, we can buy property today, but that's only going to last so long. We can buy all kinds of things. Diamonds are said, diamonds are forever. No, they aren't. Everything's going to be taken away. Everything's going to burn. 2 Peter chapter 3 brings that out. Well, you want something that will last forever? That would be your relationship with God. And it must be according to His terms, not our terms. We do not create God in our image. He created us in His image, and He does not want to have any of us to be separated from Him for eternity. But we can choose to be, because there were angels in heaven who left their first estate, their first service to God, and God cast them out. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels. He didn't prepare it for us. And so now it is up to us whether we are going to go and live with our Creator or go and live with those that have already been separated from God eternally. The choice is ours. The only way to make the choice is for us to see what God says for us to do and to be. And thus, we have to let God speak in our heart by letting His Word be put into our heart. So we've got to let the Bible speak. Now, if you have a Bible question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And that's the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. As we said earlier, the materials that we send out this week will also include a DVD and a Bible reading schedule, a 7-day a week Bible reading schedule for all the people that enroll today. And so make certain that if you're interested in that, you call 553-5157. Call right now. You can get through very easily, and we'll be glad to send that to you. That's 553-5157 for the DVD, the Bible reading schedule, and the Bible correspondence course. All of that will be sent to you, and it is free. However, right now we're waiting on your questions. If you would rather, if you've already got the course, you already got the material, then go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564.
And you can also take advantage of our website. Ricky had mentioned that earlier. You may be listening to the program, and maybe you don't have a question that's really on your mind right now, but you do know that you want to know more about God's Word. Well, on our website, www.BibleAlone.com, that's spelled as one word, BibleAlone.com, there are study materials that you can find there that you can download, and that's free as well. It's not copyrighted or anything like that. And you can use those materials to help and encourage your study of the Scriptures. And it might be, after doing some of that study, you might have some questions, and we, again, would be more than happy to have you call up and talk about that. So, again, keep that in mind as well, and we encourage any kind of interest that you have in the Bible to actually make that a working thing for you. We have a live caller.
Yes, we have Ben standing by. Ben, are you there? How can we help you?
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Merry Christmas to you all.
Well, thank you.
My question is, as we go through our hard times in life, right, can we use Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice?
I believe that would be very smart to do that. I agree.
Right.
Yes, that is an awesome passage. As a matter of fact, verses 4 through 8 would be ideal. When in this time, this season, where there are so many people that are faced with their loneliness or their isolation because of lack of family or lack of relationships, one thing for certain, God will always be available for us if we will just present ourselves to Him.
Right. And it also said in James 1:2, I think it is, when he said, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations.
Yes.
So those two scriptures, can I apply those two scriptures at the Word of God in 2 Timothy 2:15? Study to show thyself approved to God, and recommend that you not to be ashamed, but in the word of truth.
Yes, that's exactly right. And another translation puts that as give diligence to show yourself approved to God. Yes.
Right.
I agree. Those are ideal verses in dealing with some of the challenges of life.
Right.
Matter of fact, the Philippians passage is probably a passage I have to use in talking to people more than any other passage.
Right. Thank you a whole lot.
Well, thank you, Ben. Appreciate you coming on and sharing those with the audience today.
Merry Christmas again.
You too. God bless.
Take care, Ben.
Again, that was a very good question he brought up, and he mentioned about Christmas there. And so while we're waiting on the next question, let me just ask you, Steve, this question. And that is, what does the Bible say about Christmas, and should we be in a religious way, according to what the Bible says, should we be celebrating or are placing special religious significance upon this one day a year that most people are celebrating Christmas, and it's, regardless of what the religious world says, what does the Bible say?
You know, I don't know that I've ever seen the word Christmas in the Bible. And
no?
That gets you to wondering, because, you know, everybody religious is doing that. And so where's that in the Bible? In fact, the only thing that festival, the celebration that I can see talked about in the scriptures that the early church did was the Lord's Supper. That's when they celebrated the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's really not a whole lot in there at all about
You mean to tell me that the scriptures do not tell us to remember or celebrate in a special way annually the birth of Christ?
Never seen anything like that.
Well, in the Bible, are there any such things as birthdays ever celebrated in the Bible?
Never seen that.
So no one's birthday was celebrated.
I don't recall ever seeing that.
Yeah, it's just nothing like that.
I mean, obviously people were born.
Yeah, right? and days are recorded for people's birth, but that's about it. There's no annual celebration. So what is it that we should be celebrating about? Is there a particular day that we should place special significance upon in reference to the life of Christ?
Well, it seemed that the early church was told to do something on the first day of the week.
Well, why then?
Well, that's the day the Lord rose from the dead.
Huh. So, if that's the case, then what about all of these statements about Christmas? Where did that name come from?
Well, it must have come from men. If it didn't come from God.
Okay.
And if it came from men, then of course we're commanded not to add to or take away from God's word.
Well, again, I know we're talking back and forth here. Does that mean that we're not supposed to even ever study the birth of Christ?
Oh, no, it's in the Bible.
Okay.
All the Gospels.
So what's wrong with studying that?
Oh, not a thing.
So is it wrong to know that Jesus was born?
Oh, no. That was a virgin birth. It was a wonderful miracle.
So is it wrong to remember the birth of Christ?
No. If you're going to have study the Bible, if it's in the Bible and you're going to meditate day and night in the Scripture, it's going to be in your memory.
So where's the problem here?
Well, the problem is doing something which God didn't want us to do.
Okay.
And that would be to assign a particular day to the birth that the Bible didn't assign.
Okay.
So we would be doing something that really is without faith.
Okay. So there's no way to establish that from
God's
word.
No way to establish that.
So there's no day that God told us to single aside annually for anything.
No.
No. Now, in the Old Testament, there were a bunch of them. But in the New Testament, under Christ's covenant, there is no annual observance of anything he's told us to do.
Not a one.
Huh. So, it's only a weekly thing.
Only a weekly thing.
Okay. All right. Well.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that is interesting because that just goes right in the face of what is practiced almost everywhere religiously today.
You know, the thing about that is that if you've heard the expression, if you say it long enough and loud enough, then everybody will assume that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of been, you know, the way with that. It's been done so long, people just assume that's what the Bible says.
So if that is alarming to you, friends, if that right there is just amazing to you, well, then why not? What do you think else could have been religiously bound, accepted, practiced that just may not be in God's word as well? If that so popular, so in our face everywhere, and so many battles, actually secular battles about manger scenes and such like that. And if all of that is based upon something that God never said in his word, how many more things do you think may be questionable? I hope that makes you think, because God's word has always been here. It's never changed. We've got it. We see it. What we need to do is let the Bible speak on every issue and every subject if we're going to be pleasing to him one day, when we stand before him in judgment. We're going to take our break now because it's time, and we want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak. We're going to the Bible for all the answers. And hey, this is a live program. You can call in your question right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. The number is 308-9564. We're about to tell you about a free Bible correspondence course that is just a tool to get you into the Word. Matter of fact, in addition to the course we're sending today, we're sending a DVD that will also direct you to the Bible, and also a Bible reading schedule for 2014 where you can just read it for yourselves as you go through the Bible. That's a 7-day reading course. If you'd rather have a 5-day a week reading schedule, then you can get that off of our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. We just want you to be in the Word, and so that's what will set us free if we'll just listen to that God Word and nothing but, and that will help us as we stand before God in judgment one day. Go ahead and call your questions right now, 308-9564. We're standing by, and we will let the Bible speak.
Gotten your radio on and sitting down, and hope you have your phone ready and your Bible open, maybe even a notepad there. There may be questions that will come up to your mind throughout the program. Maybe somebody else will call. They'll ask a question, and then that will touch off something in your recent memory or a Bible study you've had or something you heard in church this morning or something you'd read through the week, and it just, you know, starts you thinking about something. So please take advantage of the opportunity that you have today. Call us at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. And, of course, you're going to be hearing about this Bible correspondence course, this free Bible correspondence course. And, again, if you've been listening to the program, you know that we just want people to get into the God's Word so that God's Word can get into you. So 553-5157 is the number to call to sign up for a Bible correspondence course. You sign up, call that number, rather, and there'll be a message. You can record your name and address, and that will be sent out to you tomorrow. And you can start studying God's Word the next day if you're living close to Goose Creek, where we mail those things out. And you can know what God's Word says for yourself. And we encourage you to take advantage of that opportunity. Again, 308-9564 or text 725-9283.
The lines are now available. One line's available now, 308-9564. We have Kim calling in wanting to know. Her question is, I would like to know more about the Lord's Supper. So she's wanting some comments on remembrance of God's Supper. So I would direct you, and hopefully you will have a all of you that may have a question about this, get your pencil and paper. Write this down, because there's going to be several nuggets of gold, of treasure, that we're about to share with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is where the Lord's Supper was initially instructing a church on what they are supposed to be doing. And so it's actually verses 23 through 29. And I'm going to pull out several little nuggets here for you. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, beginning with verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now, hold your place there, because we have a live caller standing by. We're going to come back to this in just a moment so that you don't miss out on this. So go ahead and get your paper and pencil ready to write this down. I'm going to give you several other passages as well. And so we're going to go ahead and go to the live the caller so that we do not miss out on having some other calls come in.
Okay. This is Keani.
Keani, you're on the air. How can we help you? Hello. Hello, Keani.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask a question about how much is the Bible study cost?
It is absolutely free.
All right, thank you.
Okay, be sure to call that number, 553-5157. We will never ask for any donation whatsoever. We're happy to send it to you. It's absolutely free. That is 553-5157. It is absolutely free. We'll never ask for a donation. Okay, it looks like she got cut off. So, again, that's 553-5157, those that are interested in the Bible correspondence course. Now, coming back to this question that Kim asked about concerning the Lord's Supper, The verse 24, he says that they were supposed to take this bread, which is representing his body. Now, verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. He says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Now, many of you that are religiously practicing have maybe seen this ceremony and at various times. But notice here in this passage, many times our religious friends will take this and they'll say, now see, it doesn't say how often they did it. But the word often is used there, so therefore we know that this was done often. So, verse 26 goes on to say, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. There's more details there I would like to talk about, but let's explore this idea of how often this is to be done, because it really doesn't say there. Now, in this same chapter you're looking at, chapter 11, verse 1, Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So, whatever Paul did is exactly what we should be doing as far as this, the Lord's Supper, how often he did it. So he is saying, follow my example. Now, if you have any question marks about that, you might want to write down Philippians 3 and verse 17. 3:17, where Paul again says, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. So there he said it again. Well, if that's not good enough, then try a third time in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. He says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So three different times, or actually more than that, these are just three times I brought out, Paul says, follow my example and those who follow that kind of example. So let's go find where Paul laid down an example for us to follow concerning the Lord's Supper. I'm turning now to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and here we have his example. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, and I hope and pray that all of y'all have turned to that passage, because I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do it on purpose for a reason. I normally don't like to twist the word of God, but I'm going to do it with you knowing I'm doing it so that you can see the emphasis that God is placing here. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the, now I'm going to change the next word. I'm going to say it's the word year. On the first day of the year, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. Now, as you know, that did not say year. But what if that verse had said year? That they, the disciples, came together on the first day of the year to break bread. Would we rightly conclude that that was an annual event? Yeah. See, that's what we just brought out earlier. The Bible, the New Testament, does not give us any annual events. So if it doesn't say year, does it say month? And those of you that have got your Bible open, you know that it doesn't say month either. Because then it would have been a monthly event. And now on the first day of the month. But it doesn't say that either, does it? The verse actually says that these disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread. That's what they did. That's how often they came together. More importantly, that's what Paul did. And that's what we should do. Today is the first day of the week. Now, we call it Sunday, but we could call it anything we want to. There's always been a seven-day week in every calendar from the beginning of time. So what day is it that God's people should be celebrating, and what should they be celebrating, and how often? You're right. One time a week. One time a week, the first day of the week, It's not a yearly, not a monthly, not a seasonal. It is a weekly event where they come together to remember the most significant event that has ever taken place, Christ's death, burial, resurrection, to give life to all of us who want to walk with him. Hopefully that's helpful to you. Thank you, Kim, for your question. We could talk a lot more about this, and if you want more information, you can go to our website at www.biblealone.com, or you can call and ask for more information to the Dial a Bible Study number, which is 553-5157, and we would be more than happy to oblige and send that to you. Again, the number for your question, if you have a question, this is a live broadcast, go ahead and call it in right now, 308-9564. Steve?
Yes, we are going to talk more about the Lord's Supper because Leslie has asked a question.
Oh, good.
About that. And Leslie, we've come to recognize your name as a frequent caller, and we appreciate so much your interest in spiritual things and your godly questions. And you particularly ask this time, when taking the Lord's Supper, what does it mean to examine yourself? And does that mean that if I messed up this past week, that I'm unworthy to take the Lord's Supper? Well, let's go to the passage that Ricky touched on just recently here as he was talking about that other question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23, of course, Paul brings to mind what Jesus did in the Gospel of Matthew, well, one of the Gospel accounts, Matthew 26, when he showed from the Passover feast, chose two elements to be used in the Lord's Supper. And so as he talks about that partaking, he mentions the idea of how one takes it. Look at verse 27, Leslie, and maybe some others that are thinking and concerned about this. So Paul says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So in those passages we read, we've got both the examine passage, examine himself, and unworthily mentioned twice. And so obviously you can see that the concern is that when one takes the Lord's Supper, that there should be a examination of themselves. That is, what should they be examining? Well, they should be examining, they should be discerning the Lord's body. They should be thinking in terms of, as they take that bread, this is symbolic of the Lord's body. And as they drink the cup, this is the Lord's blood. And as they think about that, you know, ways to examine yourself to see whether or not you're partaking of this in the proper way, you're thinking and focusing on what those things represent. Ricky?
You know, and the phrase where it says this is the blood of the covenant also suggests that these are people that have entered the covenant relationship with God. And thus that is also important. That covenant is entered in the day that we are baptized into Christ. And so that is so very important that we have entered into Christ through through baptism. That's where we die to our sins. We rise to walk in newness of life. We become a child of God. And thus we have entered into a covenant relationship with Christ by our obedience to him. And that's why he instructs all of us that we should be remembering that covenant every week. A similar thing occurs sometimes in our society when married couples renew their vows. Sometimes it's every decade, sometimes it's every so often. Well, God expects us to remember our vow that we made to him the day we become a child of God. And thus, he wants us to do that weekly. Now, why do married couples do it? Do they forget that they're married? No, they don't forget that they're married. But they do it to try and renew or strengthen that relationship between them. And that's exactly why he wants us to do it, to renew, remember, and strengthen that relationship we have between us and God. And so there is a remembering of the covenant also involved in the Lord's Supper. So So there's other things as well. He's our Passover, many other elements or facets to this jewel that he has given us to obey in the New Testament. Thank you so much for these questions, though.
And so about the other idea of eating it unworthily, it doesn't say that one should be worthy of it. It talks about unworthily, and the idea of eating it unworthily is you're not thinking about the covenant. You're not thinking about the body and the death of the Lord. You're not thinking about his great sacrifice. You're not thinking about your obligation, your responsibility to serve such a loving and kind and generous God. So if we sin, and we're all going to do that, then this does not mean you cannot take the Lord's Supper. It ought to stir us to say, I need to reconnect with my commitment to God, and I need to remember what Jesus did for me, because every time I take the Lord's Supper and I'm remembering what the Lord has done for me, it builds strength in me to live a more holy and godly life. So, Leslie, we appreciate so much your concern as you take the Lord's Supper, and we pray that you desire to be in that covenant relationship where the significance of that body and blood will mean so very much more to you. We appreciate that.
We have a caller calling in this question. By the way, the lines are now available, 308-9564, 308-WJNI. You can call in your question right now, and we will be glad to answer your question on today's broadcast, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. I don't think we've gotten a single text message today, and so cell phones must have run down or something. So anyway, we're glad to get your question any way that you want it. 725-9283 is the question. We missed a break? Okay, well, let's go ahead and take that break. But by the way, those of you that are standing by, there's a question coming up about bishops and apostles, and so stand by for that, and we'll be glad to get to that question in just a second after the break. Again, the number to call in your question is 308-9564. The information we're about to give you is free. In addition to the course that we're given, we're sending you a DVD and a Bible reading schedule. Here's the information on that. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our study and our live Bible broadcast. This is a live call-in program, so you get to call in the questions. You get to direct the course of this program. And this is not like some Bible classes or school sessions you've been into where you just have to sit and listen. You get to ask the questions, and we appreciate the opportunity to give that to you. Call 308-9564 if you want to call in a question. You can text us at 725-9283. And you've just heard about the Bible Correspondence Course. Or if you want the DVD or the Bible reading schedule, you can call 553-5157. Now let's pick up more with the questions now.
We have a question that we talked about before the break was, where does bishop and apostle come from? Well, those are biblical terms in God's Word. The word bishop is a word that is describing, and is used in a number of places in the Bible, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. It's the Greek word episkopos, and it's referring to those individuals that have been selected that they will oversee. That's what the word episkopos or bishop means. Oversee. Sometimes it is translated as overseer and the verb form. And so that would be that they were supposed to be doing this. They were to oversee the flock of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. But the word apostle, that is an entirely different word. It is apostolos is the word, and it just means one sent. One sent. And so an apostle is one that was sent by God, and that word apostle and the word bishop has never in God's word be used as a title. Let me repeat that. These words, whether it's bishop, pastor, overseer, shepherd, or apostle, None of those words are used in a title form to where it is elevating somebody and giving them rank over somebody else, making them more important. Wow. However, these words are often used, almost exclusively used in the religious world as titles, entitlements, giving rank and authority to the said individual, and they are used as a prefix to a name. And that is just never the case in the Bible. Now, those of y'all that are confused about this, just take your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, the very first verse of the book, and then go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all the way through. You'll see that it sounds like this. Let me just read Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. Now, notice it does not ever say the apostle Paul to the church at whatever location it would be. It's never used as a title, and nor should be. Well, the word bishop is never used that way either. So these individuals today that will either use such designations as an entitlement, as a prefix to elevate, or even be allowed to be elevated, may I direct you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, of course, chapter 2 follows chapter 1. And chapter 1 is where they were rebuked, that is, those Corinthians were rebuked, for elevating Paul and Apollos and Cephas rather than Christ and calling themselves after those individuals. And they're rebuked for that. Well, as the continues dealing with this travesty of carnality there at Corinth, he tells them, chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Why, he says in verse 5, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." We need to give glory to whom glory is due, honor to whom honor is due, and God is the only one that should be getting such glory and honor. Now, let's let Jesus himself speak. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, Jesus said this: "All glory, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus has the power. He's the one that should be getting that glory, not us. Does that make sense? Yeah. He's the one that died for the church. He's the one that purchased the church. He's the Savior, the Redeemer. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He's the one that should be elevated, not us. Let me repeat that again, not us. So all of those individuals that will either elevate themselves or allow others to elevate them above others, wow, there's going to be a lot of disappointment going on if we continue to behave that way. Matter of fact, it even brings out in Philippians chapter 2 that those that will be elevated are those who empty themselves, as Jesus did. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 7, read it, and unfortunately, when you read it, you're going to weep because you're going to see that's just not the way it people behave today. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. We sure appreciate your question very much. Again, those are not positions of pride or rank. Those are service descriptions.
Yes, again, if you've got a question, give us a call, 308-9564. You might prefer to text us. That's 725-9283. And we will be delighted to hear from you and to give your question an air.
Let me, because this is akin to the first question, we have Jamita calling in this question, want to know, speak on usher and deacon in the Bible and their duty. Well, there's no usher in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about that, so I can't speak on that. The word deacon means servant. Again, not a position of rank or authority. They're just a servant. And so they are to serve. And if they serve in that capacity, they too have qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, you'll see what they're supposed to be. And first of all, something that is often overlooked today, they're supposed to be the husband of one wife.
Okay, we're coming up on a break. It is 2:30. The time is going fast here, as it always seems to do. Appreciate so much your participation. While we're going through the break, write down some numbers, like 308-9564, and you can call in a question, because during the break, the phone lines will still be open. Also to text us, 725-9283. And one more number, 553-5157. As you listen to the ad for the Bible Correspondence Course, be sure to call that number and request your Bible Correspondence Course.
We're going to go to the Bible for the answer. And thus, as we go to the Bible for the answer, you're able to hear what God says, not man. We want you to know the Bible Correspondence Course that we just told you about. We're adding an addition to that as a gift from us to show our appreciation to you. A DVD that you can look at any time in the privacy of your home. It belongs to you. You can look at it over and over and over. You can pass it on, which we would highly recommend, and thus be able to let others benefit from the gospel message via the television set or however you watch that on the computer or otherwise. And then we're also sending you a Bible reading schedule for 2014. And we're happy to do this, so don't miss out on that. You can get that coming in the mail to you even tomorrow at just simply by calling 553-5157. And that we'll be glad to get your information, and we'll get in the mail to you tomorrow. 553-5157. Now we have several questions here. We're going to combine several of them together because they're on the same subject. And we will go to the Bible because the Bible stays the same. The answer is still the same. And so we'll be glad to answer those right now. Steve?
Yes, a lot of these have to do with Christmas. I'll just real quickly read the variations among the questions. Are we supposed to celebrate Christmas? Is Christmas of the world or of Christ? And is the Christian celebration biblical? And then there's one about the weekly celebration of the Sabbath. Let's take the Sabbath one first. The Sabbath was, of course, used on the Old Testament a lot, every Sabbath. Remember when God said and gave to Moses, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? That's kind of a parallel to first day of the week. They did that weekly.
Except that was designated to be done on the seventh day
exactly.
of the week,
yeah.
Not the first day of the week. And so our calendar today calls that Saturday. And so that's the only difference. The word yeah. Sabbath means rest, and so that's why there is not just a weekly rest. There was a yearly 7-year rest, and then there was a 50-year rest. And
yeah.
so there were several Sabbaths in the Old Testament.
And so this first day of the week is what replaced the Sabbath day. When Mary went to the tomb of Jesus to finish the burial customs of that day, they went as the first day began to dawn, and that's when Jesus rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 16, that's when the church met together to collect a collection. And then also in Acts 20, verse 7, that we've already talked about earlier in the program, it's when the first century church came together to take the Lord's Supper. So that was the weekly celebration that the New Testament church talked about. It wasn't the Sabbath as the Jews did, but the first day of the week. Then all these other Christmas questions we have. Is it biblical? Is it of the world or of Christ? And are we supposed to celebrate it? And I just wanted to make an interesting observation, and anybody can check this. You can look in your dictionary to see what the history about Christmas was. I can't read you all this stuff, but it is interesting nonetheless. And it is admitted that people didn't celebrate that day in the first century, and that it wasn't a date that was talked about in the scriptures. And that's pretty much all we need to know about what history says about it. it agrees that there's nothing in the Bible about that. Now, there is a passage in Colossians chapter 2 I think it's real interesting, because whenever you talk about, you know, Christmas with religious people and you talk about not being taught in the Bible, you get this wide-eyed, almost angry look at you as a result of that. They might call you a Jehovah's Witness and any other kind of things. But in Colossians chapter 2, it talks about things that people do as what they want to do in their show of worship. And this particularly has reference to the things of the Old Testament, things about regard to food and drink, in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. Verse 17 says, these things are a shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Then you go down to verse 23. Paul says, these are matters which have to be sure of the appearance of wisdom and self-made, and the King James says, and will worship. You know what will worship is? Will worship is when I worship God according to my will and not his. So the question always before us is, what does the Bible say about the celebration of Christmas? And as we talked about earlier, I can't find the word.
Right.
I can't find the details of it. We already talked about that if a person, you know, remembers the fact that Jesus was born, that's a biblical teaching.
And there's a verse of Scripture that probably everyone that has a religious inclination to do this knows. John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in right. You said it, truth. Well, if it's not in the truth, and we're doing it, are we worshiping according to truth? Yeah, see, we got a problem there, don't we? So if we're going to stick with the Bible, we just need to let the Bible speak. And it doesn't speak of a annual event and celebrating his birthday as far as a spiritual, religious event whatsoever. So what we'll have to do, is it a secular holiday? Yeah, well, I'll take the day off. But it's not a religious event according to the Bible if we're just going to stick with what God says. We have a caller texting in this question, and I'm so sorry to the caller, the last digit, 622. They say, my mother just died in November. She was a God-fearing, righteous woman who walked with the Lord. I would like to know if her spirit has passed on to glory or heaven. Well, first of all, let me give you my condolences. I'm sorry. We only get one mother, and so and I understand that. I've lost my mother, too. But as far as it being your mother or my mother or anyone else's that has already passed from this life, we cannot whittle on God's end of the stick. One thing that God is that we aren't is he's the judge. He deserves to be judged, and his judgment is righteous. And so no matter how good and right and proper we are in this life, we as another human being do not have the ability to look at the thoughts and intents of the person's heart. And so only God can do that. Now, if it's just like what you said there, then I would just take great comfort in knowing that she, as well as us, will stand before a righteous judge who knows the whole situation. And so if you ask me this question, I cannot answer, because, you see, that kind of information is just not in the Bible. All we can do is just see what he has given to us that are still alive, and let our lives conform to his will as we walk in the light, so that we can rest assured ourselves. So once we leave this life behind, it is sealed, and eternity will be sealed, for then just the judgment remains after that, and he is the judge and not we ourselves. Again, I know that you have great hope in that, and I hope and pray that my mother is there as well. I trust she is based upon what she did. But we all have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564-308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak. One more break coming up. We want you to know that we're happy as can be to send, in addition to the Bible Correspondence Course, a free DVD, and a Bible reading schedule this week. If you have interest in these gifts, we are happy to send it to you free of charge. Just simply call 553-5157 and then leave your name and address. Be sure to spell your name and the name of your street so that we can get it correct and get it on its way to you right away. We sure do appreciate your interest and your joining us today in today's broadcast. Please know that we can still take more questions if you want to continue calling them in. The number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your heart. We'll be right back.
Thanks for sticking with us through the break. Well, this is our last break, and we've got about 15 or so minutes left. And so please take advantage of the opportunity, 308-9564. For the voice line or the text line is 725-9283. Again, that Bible correspondence course can be a great blessing to your life. 553-5157 is that number. Ricky, what you got?
Yes, we have Michelle calling in this question. They want to know what the Bible says about divorce and remarriage and being a pastor. Well, okay, let's deal with pastor first. The word pastor is the Greek word poimen. It is also translated as shepherd. And so the individual that is over plurality, individuals, they're pastors, overseers, bishops, presbyters, shepherds, they're all the same group of men. And the qualifications in order to function in that role are including the home, where it says that a bishop is supposed to be the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine or violent, nor greedy of money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how can he take care of the church of God? So if this individual is supposed to be an example of how a home is to function. And so if it is a broken home, how can he be an example? Oh, okay, yeah, he can be part of a broken church. Well, you see how that fits. They're supposed to be an example of how the home is supposed to be conducted and also be the husband of one wife. Now, what does the Bible say about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. I would encourage you to read verses 3 through 12. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. I'm not going to read it all. I want you to read it. And just note that verse 9 is the only exception to anyone getting that remarriage. And that exception is when they have committed adultery. The guilty party has committed adultery or fornication. Then that allows the innocent party to remarry. That's Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9. The actual statement is, except for or commits adultery. Whosoever marries her that is divorced commits adultery. And so read all of that. And also read on down to verse 12, because they conclude that if that's the case, then it's better not to marry. God, Christ, concurs and lets them know that there's some that will probably have to make themselves eunuchs because of the violation of the law of marriage that he has given. So that's Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. And then also the other passage was 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Steve, you have a question?
Yes, we have a question about homosexuality. The question says there's a lot of homosexuality talked about in the church. And the question was, is that a generational curse? Well, let's take the generational curse thing first and then talk about the homosexuality. Ezekiel chapter 18 tells us that each person is responsible for their own sin. So I'd encourage you to read Ezekiel 18, and what you'll find there is you'll find the scenario of a good man who has a wicked son. And then you'll have that son who grows up. He becomes a father, and his son is a righteous son. And what is being said there is that each person is responsible for themselves. The soul that sins, it shall die. So I think that takes care of any kind of generational curse being taught in the Scriptures. The second part about that is the homosexuality. What makes a person a homosexual? Well, the Bible does not say that one is born that way. One, the Bible does not say that it's the result of some kind of genetic foul-up somewhere, but it does have to do with a person making a decision to do that. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21 talks about how God has made him his divine power and Godhead understandable by his creation, and that there were people who observed that in verse 21 that says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And notice verse 23. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Then verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then if you kind of go down to verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did exchange the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. So what that passage tells us is that those people decided to do that in rebellion to God. One last passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, is a good passage to think about too. That passage starts out in verse 18, flee fornication. And it also talks about that a person who has been guilty of those kinds of things that we just talked about can be forgiven. In fact, Paul says, such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been justified, you have been sanctified. And that's what can happen for someone who's got caught up in some kind of sin, sexual or otherwise. They can be redeemed.
And we are glad that you've asked the question. We sure appreciate it very much. We've got a couple of three questions to deal with before the end, but don't call in your question. Go ahead and call it in. If we can't get to it today, we'll get to it next week. We have this question texted in. They want to know, the last three digits are 985. Why didn't Jesus ever baptize people? Well, that's taken from John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, and thus it deals with that situation. I can't help but think the reason is for that, that is because the same reason that was problem in 1 Corinthians, or the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, when some were calling themselves after Paul and Cephas rather than after Christ and Paul, and thus he talks to them about that. He says, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I baptized in my own name. And so if that caused a controversy with the apostles and teaching people the gospel, can you imagine what it would have done with Christ himself baptizing? And so people that are carnal and envious would have deified themselves because the Lord himself was the one that immersed them. And so no doubt that is probably the reason, and at least that's the only passage that I can give you along that line. We're, again, trying to get all of the questions in. Steve, you got a quick question there?
One asks, what is one to consider when he preaches from Sunday to Sunday and sees no fruit? Well, there might be two problems, challenges with that. One is that God's Word will produce fruit. If we're preaching the true gospel, that will produce fruit. And the second problem might be that if we're doing the first one, if we're teaching the true gospel, somebody's going to be edified, somebody's going to be built up, somebody's going to be saved. But secondly, sometimes we become impatient. And so we need to wait. We need to sow in faith and to persevere. And so hopefully those things would be important for us to always remember. Read the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 4. That gives you some good things to think about too. Then we have one other thing really quickly. Vanessa wants to know where to order the DVD from. Well, call 553-5157 and leave your name and address with the request for the DVD, and that will be sent out to you. Ricky, you got a question yet?
Yes, so I've got two questions here from the phone number 091, the last three digits. They want to know, first of all, if you abide in the laws of the land, for example, marriage laws, certificates, does that mean that we are not living by the Spirit and will be judged by the law? Well, that's a very good question. That's playing the laws of the land off of the laws of God. And God tells us in Romans chapter 13 that we should obey the laws of the land. In Romans chapter 13. So if God tells us to obey the laws of the land, then we're actually obeying God as he tells us to obey the laws of the land. The only exception to that would be just like all other authorities. The government would be authority, a parents would be authority. And God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And so that would be obeying the laws of the land in the Lord. That is, unless the laws of the land conflict with the law of God, then we must obey God rather than man. And so there's what the exception to that rule. But we are to obey the laws of the land unless it is in direct conflict with what God's word says. Now, their second question, it says, further breakdown of the question in Old Testament and New, the Bible talks about your word and making vows. Well, Jesus puts it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter, I believe it is chapter 7, I believe, where he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, Old King James. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. I think James also addresses this as well. And so we've got to make certain that when we speak, that we are saying exactly the truth. If we say yes, we need to mean yes. If we say no, we mean to mean we are meaning no. And anything further than that, if we have to prop it up with some kind of promise or swearing, okay, and that's James?
Matthew
5:37. I was wrong. Chapter 5 and verse 37, and then also addressed in the book of James as well. And so we've got to make certain that we are speaking exactly what God expects us to, what we are saying is true. We're good to our word. We live in a day and a time where very few people speak the truth all the time. Matter of fact, when I was a salesman years ago, I was taught and I saw truthfully, as I explained the product that I was selling years ago, their first reason for not buying was never the right reason. And that just kind of is a testimony to the way our society is built today. It's unfortunate that there is so much of that and so much carnality and so much human nature is against speaking the truth all the time. And so God would have us to let our vows, our word, be a vow. Everything that we say, we should speak truth with our neighbor. Ephesians chapter 4, put away all lying, but speak truth with your neighbor. So those are some things that we have got to do. And if we do not, we are asking for trouble. It's time for us to bid you goodbye. We want you to know that we are so honored to have been in your ear today. And hopefully you're not listening to us. Hopefully you're listening to what God says. So we're so thankful to have related to you what the Bible says on how to live according to God's word, a life of godliness, a life that God wants us to live. It is not about things. Right now, this week, there are going to be a lot of people focused upon things. And these things will not make us eternally happy. Oh, they may make our day. They may even cheer us up for a week or two. But all of these things perish with the passing of time. If you want the eternal joys that only our Creator can give us, then you must search deeper than this, these things that we may be receiving. What we must do is to look for the treasure contained in God's Word. What we have to do is to let the Bible speak.